Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 to join our conversation today, or thegardeningshow.com. And we're going to talk a little bit about thegardeningshow.com. We've got some issues on that website, but I'll tell you how to get around that. But let's talk to each other. 1-800-859-0957. On thegardeningshow.com, though, you can email me. And David in Berkeley, we're going to talk about your Norway maple. Rick in Brighton, autumn olive is hard to get rid of. And Carol in Troy, you ask some really interesting questions. And, you know, all of us, if we're honest with ourselves and there's no one else around, we all talk to plants, most of the time encouragingly, sometimes threateningly, but Carol, you brought up a question that sometimes plants talk back, and we're going to get to that too. And Jay Russell and Jackson, boy, I'm sympathetic, but we're going to talk about some thistle issues. But 1-800-859-0957. And while I'm opening the lines up, and we do have a couple of lines open, last year, actually, I'm lucky enough to share a studio across the aisle with Glenn Hagee, America's Handyman. And if there's anything you want to know about home repairs and how to do it yourself, Glenn is the man. We have a lot of questions about plants in near concrete, concrete walls, concrete, any concrete structure. And a lot of times, plants that are sensitive to pH problems, such as roses and that group, the concrete leaches out, changes the pH, and the roses don't do so good. However, Glenn has a solution. So let's pick up. I did a great interview last year. Let's run that right now. It's my great pleasure to welcome America's Handyman, Glenn Hagee, to The Gardening Show. Glenn, really appreciate you being here today.
Well, I saw you walking around the halls here, and what a great show. You've been doing 20 seasons on WJR. And you had a question off mic, and you thought it'd be better if I got on the mic to answer the question you had.
A lot of people have an issue where we've got concrete all the way around an area where they're planting trees or shrubs. You know, sidewalks, pools, you know how that works.
Yes.
The problem that we've got from the plant point of view is that the concrete leaches, and over a period of years, it raises the pH in that soil or media around the concrete, and then the plants just don't grow very well, especially Correct. The ones that we really like to put in there. Is there a way we can seal that concrete?
There is, and it's a much easier way now that we're dealing with phenolics and phenolics that instead of silicones. And we're dealing with very low or no VOCs.
Okay.
So everything's warm, soapy water. It's what they call low VOC, so soapy water cleanup. And we're dealing with products that are designed and engineered for very porous surfaces. And these are non-film forming. So they don't have to be Leonardo da Vinci when they're putting this stuff on. So it's not going to be one area shiny and the other area dull.
Okay.
You're not going to see this until it rains, and you're going to see it extreme beading going on.
Okay.
And what this does is does a couple of things. Number one, it slows down what we call freeze and thaw cycling, which means we're getting in the pore structure about a 64th of an inch of the surface, and we're not allowing this to develop what we call soluble salts, which is the product that leaches into the soil and sends the alkalinity to the moon.
That causes all the problems for our plants
right
there.
So you can load it up. You can use a roller. The specialty rollers by Whizz, W-H-I-Z-Z. They have corner rollers. They have 3-inch rollers, 2-inch rollers. You want to move the dirt away. The only thing that they request is that the surface be dry. So I would say,
say it's down on the side, surface of the, say, the sidewalk or something, and then down inside that.
Four-inch.
Pull the soil back, allow it maybe a week or whatever to make sure it's really dry and clean.
I would really like it to be at least 24 hours of dry weather.
Okay.
Without soil contact.
Okay.
And then you can load up the product and really get sloppy with it. It's warm soap and water cleanup. The product name is manufactured by a company called Seal Crete. And it's spelled a little bit funny. S-E-A-L. And then Crete is K, like in kitchen, R-E-T-E. Multi-surface acrylic water repellent. There is no color to this.
Okay.
No yellow, no amber. Lowe's, Home Depot, Walmart, Sherwin-Williams, True Value, Do It Best. It's available probably everywhere but 7-Eleven. Okay.
And this is something that hey, I'm not the handyman. You are. Mm-hmm. I can do it on a weekend or something with no problems.
People that are gardeners, there's more gardeners performing garden than any other home improvement thing in the country by a long shot. And we're not talking 10% more. We're talking the graph is dramatic. So, yeah, if you're a gardener, you can do this no problem.
Great. Glenn, again, that's Glenn Hagee, Erica's handyman. Glenn, thank you again for being on.
My pleasure. Thanks for asking.
What a great interview, and what a great guy. So if you're around, your station carries the handyman show, give Glenn a call. But that information is great. The problem is sometimes you miss it or you don't have a piece of paper to make a note. If you want to check the gardeningshow.com website, in there, check on the... you can click into the shows. We keep the records of it, the back records, and you can catch up with any of the shows that we've done. Also, I've got a tremendous amount of information in there, all kinds of things. This week, we're going to put some interesting things in. Michigan State University has just come out with a whole bunch of tree selection guides. Considering the weather we've had, and hopefully your trees didn't come down. I had a couple that were down in my house. Here's some things to think about if you want to put, which tree are you going to put back. Also, it's time for tomatoes. We're getting close to that. And that means blossom end rot is an issue. So here's some tips on the preventing blossom end rot. And that'll be on thegardeningshow.com. And, of course, you can email me down there, too. And we've got, again, in the next segment, I'll talk a little bit about, we've got an issue with the website, and I'll tell you how to get around that. But David in Berkeley, Rick in Brighton, and Carol in Troy, all of you email me. I'll get to that soon, but I'd like to talk to you. 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957 or thegardeningshow.com. If you look at the Gardening Show this week, I'm also going to put information that I have posted earlier. It's on oak wilt. And with all the tree damage we have, oak wilt is going to be an issue. If you have any oaks that need to be trimmed or hopefully only minor damage, take a look at this because there's you can lose a tree not to the wind but to the fungus, and it's deadly. It really is. It's a naturally occurring fungus, and you can literally watch your oak die. It's that quick. Really sad. The other thing that we've got going, I'm going to put on the gardeningshow.com website, about the middle of the week, Japanese beetles, adults are starting to show up, which means that's the time to put your grub control materials on it. And again, this is an article I published earlier, but I'll put it back up. It's really good information from Dr. Dave Smitley's group at East Lansing and all the grub control materials out there and the ones that work and some of them that don't. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Roberta in East Lansing and Rose Upper Sandusky, Ohio. You're up next. So, Roberta, thank you for being so patient, and welcome to the Gardening Show.
Well, thank you. I have a tomato problem. I don't know what blossom end rot is, but...
It's too early for that one, I think.
Okay.
But
tomatoes are growing in a growing system that has a watering bin underneath, and it siphons the water up into the dirt.
Yeah. Those are cool.
Yeah. So I don't think this is a watering issue.
Okay.
The plants in both, I have two bins, four plants each, and from the bottom, at first I thought it was too much water because the plant leaves began to turn yellowish brown and curl, but now it's kind of throughout the plant in different areas. It was identified to me by a sighted person. I have a vision problem, can't see it very well, that it was probably fungus.
All right.
So I bought a spray that had chlorothalonil.
Chlorothalonil.
Yeah,
that's exactly
stuff.
Right.
That stuff.
Yep, that's the good stuff.
And I was surprised when I went to spray it yesterday that the bottle only sprays in a straight jet stream, not like a mist.
Oh.
And I didn't exactly know. So I attempted to spray. I don't know what else I should do.
All right. Well, I mean, first of all, the can I ask, Roberto, is it on a patio, your deck?
It is setting on concrete, yes.
Yeah, but it's outside. The plants are outside. Okay.
Yes, outside. They're in full sun.
Good. How many plants do you have in the containers?
The recommended number was 4 per container.
Okay.
And the container is about 18 inches by about 4 feet.
Yeah, so they're
Very crowded. It looks like a jungle.
Okay, here's part of that's part of the problem. I think it's a little early, and we haven't had any reports, we being Michigan State University, of what's called late blight. But it could happen anytime. And the disease sounds very much like what you're describing. Ask someone to take a look at it, and what you're looking for is brown spots, too. As the yellowing goes up, you get brown spots.
Would that be on the top or underside?
Starts at the bottom of the leaf. The bottom leaves, and it's on the top of the surface of the leaf. Very easy to see once you get a close look at it.
Okay.
I'm going to put on the website, thegardeningshow.com, some information on late blight, and it'll have pictures. All right. Now, here's some things, though, that you need to do. One of which is the chlorothalonil spray is exactly what I was going to recommend.
Okay.
Usually, and I don't know what brand you have, or the self-applicators, if you turn the nozzle one way or the other, it changes the way it shoots. And I don't know if yours has got that. Usually they come out as a cone-shaped spray.
Yeah, you know, and it's funny because I turned it mm-hmm. and I had someone look at it, and it doesn't have a mist option.
Well, I think I would get another brand that does.
Okay.
And you don't need that spray. You need a mist.
Okay.
So the material is correct. Everything is, and to Roberta, it's a protectant. In other words, once the leaf is already infected, it's going to not, you know, that we can't do anything about that. It'll protect it moving up the plant. So that's one thing to do. The second thing is that someone has to come in there and take out some of those tomato shoots. The ones that don't have blossoms on them, you'll get what's called suckers.
Okay, I remove the suckers as much as possible.
That helps, and try to get as much air movement through there as you possibly can. That'll help reduce the disease spread. I have actually seen people use fans, literally, and put a fan on it just to move the air, because this fungus is encouraged by the humidity around the leaf. So if we can get rid of that layer of humidity, it slows the process of the disease.
So if I sacrifice 2 of the 4, would I be...
Well, let's not go that far yet.
Okay.
All right. Let's see if we can stop it and slow it down.
Okay.
Now, then check the website about the middle of the week.
Okay.
And it's thegardeningshow.com. And see if that looks like it is. How far are you to MSU? Close are you to MSU?
Oh, I'm very close, about a mile.
Do you know where the plant diagnostic lab is?
Yes.
If anybody's going that way, drop over and submit a sample.
Okay.
And I think this is, you know, it always helps to have the experts take a look at it. But
sure.
It sure sounds like late blight. It's just we haven't seen it yet. So I don't know if it's a great privilege to be the first one in the state of Michigan or not, Roberta. I'm not so sure.
Leading the way.
Yeah. Anyway, see if they confirm it. And they can give you more information once they confirm it.
Okay. And
go ahead.
Can I ask a quick question about peach trees?
Sure.
Peach trees didn't really blossom much this year. Is that...
No, there are no peaches in the state of Michigan this year.
Is that because of the late freeze?
It's because of the cold weather.
Okay. Okay.
There are no peaches in the state of Michigan.
Okay.
At least according to what I'm told.
So if we see them, they're last year's.
If you see them in the market, no, they're coming up from Georgia.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, which doesn't mean they're good. They're not as good as Michigan ones.
Never.
You're right, but they're not bad.
No.
And since we're not going to have a peach crop this year, better than nothing. However.
Yes. All right. Well, thank you very much for your
help. Good luck with that, Roberta. 1-800-859-0957. Okay. David in Berkeley gave me an email. Norway maple, tree's looking fine, except he looked up and there's a dead branch in it. What happened? Well, I'm not sure, Dave. It's hard to tell. It's apparently the only one around. Here's what I would do. First of all, check the growth all the way around the tree. And all you do is go out to every branch that you can see and look at how much growth you have this year. So look from the tip back to the knot. There's a big swelling, and that was where the last year's. That's 1 year's growth. And just measure it all the way around the tree. And if it's uniform around the tree, usually that means the tree is very healthy. So that's not a problem. Check the crotch angle. If that shoot, Norway maples have a tendency to be have a very narrow crotch angle. That's the angle between the trunk and the branch. Narrow is weak, and sometimes just the weight or the wind will crack it, and all of a sudden that branch dies. So that's a possibility. See if that it happens to be a weak angle, and you can see it if you can get at it because you can see where the bark pulls off. The other thing about it is when you cut that branch off, leave a 1-inch stub and take a look at that cut surface, the surface closest to the trunk. And what you're looking for is evidence of sort of a silver color, not silver, but olive green color type of thing, or something that just doesn't look right. Because that may indicate that there's a disease issue there. And if that's the case, then you really need to send pictures, and I would suggest a piece of that limb that you cut off up to Michigan State or to the local extension office and have somebody take a look at it to see if there's a problem. Hopefully that will help. And if you have an issue with Norway maples or blossom end rot or who knows, 1-800-859-0957. And, of course, thegardeningshow.com. And I will answer your emails as soon as I can on the air. I can't answer them directly. And I know, I keep saying I've got an issue with that. We're migrating it. And I'll talk about that when I get back. Stay tuned.
Now, back to The Gardening Show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. And I keep saying I'm going to do it, so I'm going to do it. But first of all, I'm going to thank two people. Without this, I could not do this show. And that's, of course, Shannon Maley, who is the engineer and producing today. And the great voice answering the phones is Crystal Price. Thanks to you both. What I keep talking about is we're transitioning the gardeningshow.com to new servers, which means you may get an error message if you click into that. I hope not. They say it's going to be fixed. Our IT guys swear. We'll see. Anyhow, if you can't go into thegardeningshow.com, here's how you do it. And what you need to do is go into WJR.com, which is our flagship station's website. Click into the show link there, which is up at the top left. Go down to Weekend Experts, click on that, and then The Gardening Show. That's more steps involved, but it'll get you to the same place. But you can talk to me directly. 1-800-859-0957. So let's talk to Rose in Upper Sandusky. Lee in Riverview, you're up next. And Dan in Trenton, you're in line too. So Rose, welcome to The Gardening Show.
Thank you. I enjoy your program very much. It's just too bad that you can't be on all year.
Well, we can discuss MSU football and basketball some other time, but I'm a sports nut. So, okay. I understand.
Okay. I have a problem with my irises. I have iris borer,
sure. And
I have dug the whole clump out,
okay. And
I have trimmed the leaves off, and I have found the iris in the rhizome, and
right.
I have dug them out.
Okay.
I want to know now if it's beneficial to soak that whole thing in bleach water or to dust them with sulfur powder, and then also if it's okay to put some other plant in that position. I know mm-hmm. You shouldn't put your iris back in the same place.
You can put the iris right back in. Sure.
You can put the iris back in?
Yes, ma'am.
Oh, okay.
Yes. Now, let's take those in order. First of all, yes, you can. You trimmed them off. Any of the roots there that are you've got holes in them or are soft or smelly, you just throw those out. Okay.
I understand that. Yes. Yeah,
got
I've
that done.
That.
And then some people use the dusting sulfur as a fungicide, which is not a bad thing to do. You know, you may not need it, but it certainly doesn't hurt. Be careful. Don't breathe the dust. I've done that. It is not good for your lungs. And then you can just plant them right back in. That should take care of the issue. You know, iris borer is a native occurring insect. It's been here forever. If you get rid of them in your spot, the adult will fly in from your neighbor. So it's one of those things that you can go right back in. Or if you want to just change the garden around and change the design, any other plant, the iris borer only attacks iris. So
okay,
you don't have to worry about
thought.
That. Yeah, so you don't have to do anything else to it.
Thank you very much.
Thank you for listening. And I, you know, okay, we won't go into sports yet. It's not that time of season. Thank you, Rose. Appreciate it. 1-800-859-0957. I thoroughly enjoy this show. I love it. But, of course, WJR is the flagship station for MSU sports, and I am a Spartan. Let's go to Lee in Riverview, and Dan in Trenton, you're up next. So, Lee, welcome to the gardening show.
Yes, Dean. I work with a group in Ann Arbor.
Okay.
And she has a south-facing plot about 4 foot by 5 foot south of the building. She would like to grow something, but they don't take care of anything that they plant.
Okay.
Would yucca, or do you have any kind of plant that might grow?
Oh, yeah. There's a range of them. What kind of soil do you have there, Lee? Do you know?
It's somewhat amended. There's a little sand in it. There's dirt. There's some potting soil in it.
Does she have water available to it at all?
Yeah, but they don't.
They don't do it.
They don't want to use much water.
Okay. Well, I was thinking more of just getting plants established.
Okay.
Sedums and things like that would grow well in there, any of those, as long as the slope is steep enough that you never have to worry about too much water standing. Of course, that really gets away from that.
What about grasses?
If they're not going to take care of it, does that mean somebody is home, they're going to do a little trimming and some weeding?
Probably me.
Oh, it's one of those deals.
One of those deals.
I hear you. Ornamental grasses would work. You need some water, TLC the first year or so to get them established. There's a range of plant material out there. Let me check thegardeningshow.com or, WJR.com, depending if we can get that server migrated. And I'm going to put a list of sunny, dry plants. And there's quite a few flowering. One of them is flowering tickweed, if you know that one. Not the invasive one. There's a couple of species ones. So there's a pretty wide range. The thing, though, Lee, is that, again, we go back to that first year to maybe 2 years. You're going to have to spend some time with it every so often to get it established and get it filled in, and then then after that it's just weeding once in a while, and it should be able to go on its own. Okay?
Thank you.
Interesting sight. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Dan in Trenton, and then let me see who we got next. Doug in Westland, you're up next, and Jack in Beverly Hills, stay on the line because I'll get to you too. Dan, welcome to the gardening show.
Taking a call. Can you handle a question about a tree?
Go right ahead.
Okay. I live in a mobile home park.
Right.
And people that lived here prior to me had planted a 6-year-old blazing maple tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I thought the bottom was whitewashed, but I've come to find out that it's a white water-based white flat paint that they painted the bottom of the tree with.
Sure.
One of the tree guys in my park told me that that's no good for the tree. It could kill it, but I should take it off.
Mm-mm.
My question is, how can I take it off? With a paint remover or with a grinder? If I grind it off, will it kill the bark?
Dan, find a new tree guy. If that's a water-based paint...
It
was done deliberately. And the reason is that maples, the young maples, they have that very smooth, thin bark. And they, in this wintertime, when the sun hits that bark, it thaws it. And then at night, when the sun goes down, it freezes, and then the trunk cracks. It's called a frost crack. And the white paint is on there to reflect the light to keep it from thawing. It's done deliberately.
Is that right?
Yeah. Now... And the tree guy should have known that if he thought, so get a new tree guy. The second thing is that you would do more damage trying to take it off than anything. It will outgrow it. If it's latex paint, the water, just the regular cheap latex paint, won't harm the tree at all. We use it all the time. So it's on there for a purpose.
Well, that's good to know. Here I was worried to death for nothing.
Yeah.
And I was washing the dishes and I punched the radio on. I caught the end of your conversation and phone number. I figured, I'll give the guy a holler. He might know.
Hey, I appreciate that. keep that button right where it is. We're going to have a good show today. So, Dan, thank you for the call. Appreciate
it. Okay, have a good holiday, buddy. Bye.
You too. 1-800-859-0957. Let's go to Doug in Westland. And, Jack, we're getting to you. So, Doug, welcome to the gardening show.
Well, hello, Dean. Dean, I have got an invasive grass here. It's very light green, and in the it's about a quarter of an inch wide,
right.
And it's just kind of taken over my beautiful lawn here. I've got about a half acre under lawn, and it just it's something you can't pull out. But is there anything I can do to treat it?
Yeah, it depends on what it is, Doug. And that's the first thing is we're going to go back in, and I'm going to put a website up for you to ID the grass.
Okay.
And I put it up before, so if you've looked at thegardeningshow.com, you may already have it on your browser. But I'm going to put the grass ID one.
Okay.
And how big of patches are we dealing with here, Doug?
Oh, 50 by 100 feet.
That big?
It's huge. Just take the last month or so, it's just kind of taken over my yard.
How thick was your turf before that? Was it pretty
thick
or
very,
not?
Very thick. In fact, I fertilized it earlier this year, and it came up very thick. We had to mow a couple times a week.
Well, let's figure out what grass it is, because
okay.
Usually when you get into the weed grasses and stuff like that, it's a spot here and a spot there. When it comes up that big, let's figure out what it is.
Okay.
Now, let me give you the bad news.
Okay.
Basically, there is no, in almost every case, there's one case that I can think of, you're going to kill everything off and reseed or resod.
Oh, my.
There's no selective materials. However, if this is one of the bluegrasses, the annual bluegrass, and it may be, that one's a little bit different deal. So here's what we're going to do. Check my website, thegardeningshow.com or WJR.com, depending on this server issue I've got going.
Okay.
And about the middle of the week, ID the grass and give me a call in a week, okay?
Okay. Very good.
Thank you.
Thanks for taking my call.
Appreciate it. 1-800-859-0957. That's the great thing about the website. A lot of times we can do some ID, and once we understand the problem or have somebody diagnose it, then we can talk about curing it. If you've got a question on anything, 1-800-859-0957.
Now, back to the gardening show with Dean Krauskopf.
1-800-859-0957. And we do have a line or two open. So if you haven't had a chance to call, give me a try. Or you can email me at thegardeningshow.com or WJR.com, depending, again, with our issues with the servers. Autumn Olive, Rick in Brighton, just built a house, and he's getting overrun with these. Rick, a couple of things. The timing on this application, you've used a couple materials. I would probably use glyphosate or the active ingredient Roundup works very well. If that is not active, the material called Triclopyr, T-R-Y-C-L-O-P-Y-R, has got more kick. It's more expensive, so you've got a fair amount. I would try it with glyphosate first. The timing is important on this. To really kill this stuff off, you got to spray in the fall. Three applications, September, October, November. And that, as long as there's leaves on, that would do it. On the larger bushes, I'd cut them down and treat the stumps and or the new shoots as they come back. If you got a 20-foot autumn olive, even spraying it with glyphosate is not going to hit it that hard. But the timing is so critical on this. It's in the fall. That's when the material is translocated down into the roots, and that's what kills the plant. So good luck. The problem with autumn olive is it's extremely invasive because the birds spread the seeds everywhere. So they're just going to keep coming back. Let's go to Jack in Beverly Hills, and then Pat in Wales Township. Stay on the line. You're up next. Jack, welcome to the gardening show.
Hi. I need some advice on trimming a river birch that was planted a couple of years ago.
Okay.
It was probably 12 feet high when it was planted, and it has grown dramatically.
Okay.
How do I shape it? And it has branches growing from the bottom almost down to the
right.
ground.
Right. Now,
so what do I do?
Now, this was a single plant. You're not talking about a clump where you've got multiple plants.
It's a single.
Okay. You can prune them. Why not? I don't suggest doing it radically, because I like the shape. All you're doing is shaping it rather than pruning it, in my opinion. The best time to do it is in the fall, after the freezes, or first thing in the spring. You know, you can do it now, but it's just easier to do. And when the one key thing about that is that you make sure that you leave at least a one-inch stub. Get a very sharp knife. How big are the shoots that you're going to take off the limbs, roughly, Jack?
They're probably half an inch around.
All right. You can do that a half inch with a good pair of lopping shears. Don't get the ones with have. What, are you familiar with what they're called, the anvil, where you've got one sharp side and one flat side? Those are not. Those aren't the kind you want. You want the ones that have two sharp edges, which are more expensive, I understand, but those are the ones that will give you a cleaner cut. Or a really good saw. A hacksaw works pretty good, actually, for this. You want a very clean cut. Leave an inch stub. And then I do it probably in the spring, just because that's when I can get to it. If depends on the site. A lot of times you get a nice spell of weather in the end of January, which we didn't get this year, and you can do it then, as long as the snow isn't on the ground enough. You know, there's not enough snow that you can't see. That's a great time to do it. But just don't go. You know, this is shaping. This is not pruning. If you catch my difference there, okay.
Yep. How far up from the ground can I go? Or should I go?
Well, you know, the younger branches, what I would do is take the ones out that are low now that you know you're going to lose, okay? If you've got to mow around it, you're going to hit them. They get in the way if you walk around it and that. And let the rest of them go. Because as the tree ages, those branches will normally get clipped off and they'll drop on their own. You can take the tree will prune itself as it grows.
Okay. But I can shape it by in the fall, the outer.
Do it in the spring. Yeah, do it in the spring before it starts, you know, March, February, March. Yeah, you can, but typically the shaping with this is just taking out a rogue branch here or there, nothing else.
Okay.
Yeah, try to maintain the shape because it as it evolves, it will maintain that shape itself. Okay?
Great. Okay, thank you very much.
It's a beautiful tree. River birch are great. Love them. Okay, let's go to Pat in Wales Township. Bill and Romulus, stay on the line. We're getting close to that time again where I'm going to go off the air. But if I do go off the air, stay on the line, please. And Scott and Clarkston, you too. I'll talk to you off the air. But let's go to Pat in Wales Township. Pat, welcome to the Gardening Show.
Hello, Doctor. Thank you for your time again. Can you please discuss with me the shelf life of common things we use in our vegetable gardens, like seven dust and other common preventatives for bugs and bad stuff? And also, may I also pick your brain, can chemical dry fertilizer be mixed with water and make a viable side supplemental fertilizer for the garden plant?
Let's answer that question first. The answer, I'm not trying to be a wiseacre here. The answer is no. The materials they use and everything are different. If you wanted to do a liquid fertilizer, buy the formulation that's made to dissolve in water. Okay. Depends on how you stored it, Pat. If you have temperatures that are under 80 degrees, it didn't freeze in that area, and it's dry, 4 to 5 years or more, even with the liquid formulations, should be just fine. They have no problems with that. The biggest problem they have is high temperatures, over 80, 85 degrees. That does change the chemistry sometimes. Some of the liquid-based materials, if they freeze solid, they separate. And you can see it in the bottle. If you open it up and take a look, you'll see the two separate layers, and then it doesn't usually go back together. As long as the dusts are still dry and shake out, and you know, they're fine forever. So I wouldn't worry about it. Sounds like, you know, as long as the storage issue is there, it's not a big deal. Okay?
Tremendous. May I follow up one more time?
I'm sorry?
May I follow up, please? Your best one or two tips for getting the garden in time before we get a frost, get a harvest.
Don't over-fertilize. Get rid of all the weeds and keep your fingers crossed. You know.
Okay.
Good luck.
Thank you.
Thank you, Pat. Bill and Romulus, Scott and Clarkson, again, we're coming up to the end of the show, and I stay on the line. I will talk to you off the air. Carol and Troy, you have Viola's Starry Night, which is a beautiful, beautiful plant. If you're not familiar with this one, it's not your grandmother's viola. This one's new. You probably know it under a different name, Lord Primrose, and it's propagated by cuttings, not seed. The other thing about this one is, Carol, you've got it facing south, and they get tall and fall over. This is where the plants are trying to tell you something. Typically, the plant gets tall and it's yellow a little bit because it's not getting enough light. Now, a south-facing bed sounds like it should have plenty of light unless there's a tree or something in the way. So you need to think about it. And if they're falling over, this plant is designed and can do almost full sun. It's not, again, your grandmother's viola. And so when it's in full sun, it gets about 4 to 6 inches tall and just moves out. It tends to be quite hardy, especially if you get some snow cover. Now, a best place probably might be on the north side if you have an opposite there, just because of the snow cover in the wintertime. That would help. I think the issue here is see if you can think about a site that gets a little more sun. They like about 6 hours of full sun if you can do it. They need good drainage, another emergent area where the water doesn't stand. And also, don't over-fertilize them. The stretching and all that falling over, it could be if you're just too good to them. Back off on the fertilizer and let's see what happens. If you don't want to move them, I would do, Carol, what's called a selective pinch. In other words, just take about half the plant off every other plant. In other words, not all the plants are being pinched off, just half of them every so, and then those will grow back and flower, and the other ones you can pinch, and you just cycle like that. This, you know, you're a new gardener, but this is a good, great question, because even us that have been doing it for a lot longer than I want to think about, sometimes we got to step back and say, hey, plants talk back to us just like we talk to them. So if you have a plant talking to you or you're talking to a plant, hey, next week I'll be back right here, same time. You can email me, thegardeningshow.com, or if we're still having issues with the computer, thewjr.com. And check out the website when you get there. Got all kinds of great stuff on it, all this information. Just have a fantastic week and enjoy Michigan.